You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Welcome to this edition of Caring Connections. This is Nicole Bruno, your host. Today, I have the pleasure to talk with Dan Cohen, the founder and executive director of Music and Memory. Welcome, Dan.
Great. Hi, Nicole. Thanks so much.
What a pleasure to have you here. Briefly, before we got on air, I was talking to Dan about how his name has come up in many different circles here, and we're very excited to have him as the founder and executive director of this program on our show. So thank you so much for taking the time out today.
It's my pleasure.
Okay. So let's just start off with, what is Music and Memory?
Music and Memory is a nonprofit organization promoting the use of iPod-based personalized music to help improve the quality of life of our elders, regardless of their cognitive or physical situation.
How did you get involved with this program?
I'm a social worker by profession, although I've spent much of my career actually in technology companies. And one day in 2006, I was listening to the radio and a journalist talking about how iPods are ubiquitous. They're everywhere. And I thought, well, yeah, all the kids have them. A lot of us adults have them. But in a nursing home, if I were ever in a nursing home, would I have access to my favorite music, my 60s music? And so I Googled iPods and nursing homes. And even though there are 16,000 nursing homes in the country, I couldn't find one that was using iPods. So I called up my nearest county nursing home and I said, I know music's already your number one activity. You have live music, you have multiple group activities. But can we see if there's any added value if we were to totally personalize music? And so they said yes, and I came in with my laptop and some iPods, and it was an instant and definitive hit with the residents.
Oh, I bet. I can imagine. I actually, years ago, worked in activities in a skilled nursing facility. And, that's exactly right. You did music, and you did it sort of the group, so everybody had to listen to the same music. And yes, we had a response, but I can well imagine if it was personalized to each person in the room, what a difference that would have made.
Yes. Well, that's exactly it. You know, and many people, especially in positions as you've had, have had also the experiences with music and people responding in a great way, memorable ways sometimes. But it's anecdotal. In other words, it's sort of one-off. There was no system in place to make this available anytime, 7 days a week, because staff, typically activity staff is there, you know, 9 to 5. And if somebody has dementia and they're up and agitated at 3 in the morning, will they have access to their music? And so that's why we involve actually the full facility. But for those at home, we really encourage, there's no difference between using iPods in a nursing home and using it at home. So it's helpful in any situation for someone with dementia.
So what is the impact of personalized music and memory as you've seen it?
Even if someone with more advanced dementia no longer can recognize their family members, they stop speaking, but if they hear music from their youth, somehow that goes, it bypasses the challenged cognitive system and goes right to the emotional system, which is still pretty much intact. And people remember. They not only remember the music, very often it's connected with music that from your youth is co-located in the brain with your own autobiographical memory. So you associate a song with maybe first time you kissed someone or doing something with your friends or going to the beach or whatever it is. And so, in fact, when I started, people said, well, you don't have to ever really set somebody up with Alzheimer's with more than 5 songs. By the time he goes through the loop, it will always be new. And there may be a grain of truth to that, but because the emotional system we're speaking to, 5 songs, maybe 5 memories, but 100 songs that are familiar, if that connects and helps people connect with 100 memories, imagine what that does in terms of taking advantage of the plasticity of the brain and the parts of the brain that are functional. That's what we're really shooting for.
So do you utilize this program both for residents who have a cognitive impairment and those who are cognitively intact?
Yes.
You do.
There is no limit. Somebody could be sharp as a tack, but bored to death. You know, sitting around, nothing going on, you know, in nursing home is, you know, what is there to stimulate them? It's hard. So here they can really have something that's personally meaningful as well and enjoy themselves and have fun. I mean, that's, joy is hard to find in a nursing home. And that's why if anybody took a poll or everybody asked themselves, who in the room is looking forward to going to a nursing home, you know, very few people will raise their hand because it's kind of an isolating, you're losing your relationships, people are dying that you know. So to have fun is anything we could do to create a joyful experience. Is treasured.
So I guess one of the questions I have for you would be, you know, I'm picturing you used to work in a special care memory unit and kind of how does it work? You know, we have, say we have 20 residents in a special care unit and we want to create this program for our residents living there, or maybe I'm a family member who wants to introduce this idea to the administration of a community. You know, is it complicated as far as, you know, do these residents understand how to use the iPad? Is there a level of assistance that the staff have to provide? You know, how does that work?
It's all, my goal has always been, I mean, I know I have family and my parents, to get them to use technology has always been impossible. So the goal here is find out their favorite music and give it to them. There's no need to learn any technology. That's why we have people, we have staff, that whatever someone needs to listen to the music, we'll provide that assistance. We'll put the headphones on, take them off. We'll find the music. We'll turn it on and off. Some people are able to do it a little bit or totally or not at all. And so, yes, we want to build a function. We want to get them their music, that music, and whatever we have to do to make that happen, we'll do.
How is this different from, say, Pandora? I know with Pandora, you can personalize your music selection by artist or genre.
So Pandora, just to give your audience a quick sort of summary, Pandora, you state an artist that you really love or a song, and it will, because it has this 400 device or 400 features of each song that it looks at, its algorithm, as they say, and then we'll give you other songs similar to it. But we know that when we do this, for those of us who use Pandora, that the next song might not be exactly what you're in the mood for, and then you have the ability to skip that song, try another one. Mm-hmm. And even though I recommend with Alzheimer's, don't use Pandora, because you may have one song that they really remember, and then the next nine will be, they'll be in that genre, and that might be okay. Good chance they've never heard these songs. Mm-hmm. So we're forcing people. They don't have the ability to click ahead and skip it as we do.
Wonderful. Well, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Dan Cohen, the founder and executive director of Music and Memory, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and today I'm speaking with Dan Cohen, the founder and executive director of Music and Memory. Today we are talking about the impact of his Music and Memory on residents and individuals that are living in our community. Welcome back, Dan.
Hi, Nicole.
Okay, so I guess I just want to pick up sort of where we left off, and we just started talking about, you know, how the use of music could really change the amount of psychotropic medications that people are placed on when they have an Alzheimer's or dementia diagnosis. Do you have any other outcomes that you could share with us about your program?
I'll give you, can you say outcomes within the dementia world?
What you've seen, some maybe an anecdotal story of how this has impacted an individual's life.
I'd always go into a nursing home and say, do you have a resident that's really disruptive?
Mm-hmm.
And so in nursing home, they said, yes, this gentleman was just knocking the water and food when it was being given to him out of the nurse's hands. He was cursing at the staff, and it was very hard and it was very draining. So we figured, okay, well, what if we try to come up with a music system? But the problem was there was no family, no friends, nobody knew what his threats were. But they did know that he was a veteran. Mm-hmm. So we put together a song list of patriotic music,
mm-hmm.
and we gave it to him, and he snapped to attention and saluted. And his abusive behavior just stopped on a dime. As long as he was listening to the music, he'd be singing, humming to the music, and saluting. And then after 6 months of this, and this is a gentleman who was inarticulate, he'd say, I used to watch John Wayne movies with my dad.
Hmm.
And so they interspersed now the TV, the John Wayne movies, and the music, And so that was sort of problem solved. It was just that easy.
That's simple. Wow.
Another woman who called me, she was her dad, 92, at home, around-the-clock care, and she heard about this concept, and she got an iPod, and the nursing staff, somebody knew how to work it, and that was great. But she was just a lot calmer and more amenable to being taken care of, being bathed, and eating and such. But then they lost, the iPod broke. She called me in a panic. So I got another iPod. And so it really made that much of a difference. And then he went to the hospital to get a pacemaker, which is a pretty short procedure, but he was in for 2 weeks because he had infections and other issues. And his daughter said, and he was really out of control, typically, without the music. They would have had to tie him down. He would have had to be there all the time. But with the music, he was just as pleasant as can be listening to his music. She didn't have to stay there. They didn't have to tie him down. The whole hospital experience was transformed to this particular. So we have stories, another one that comes out of Toronto, where the Alzheimer's chapter told me the story, and they have a huge effort going on to provide anyone in the city of Toronto whose family member is diagnosed with Alzheimer's, they will give the family an iPod, they'll give them $100 in iPod, and they'll give them assistance setting up.
Wow.
In exchange for the family, as soon as someone's diagnosed, speaks to the social worker within the Alzheimer's Association. So now, typically, families are hesitant to call for help when someone's diagnosed.
Yeah.
But if what's the benefit going to be, their opinion, of somebody calling them 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 years sooner and get support? That's going to change the quality of life for the whole family, and it may result in someone being able to stay home longer because they're not going to have the behaviors that often cause being sent to the nursing. So one story they talk about is a woman went with her daughter to the doctor. A woman has Alzheimer's, and often this would be a torturous kind of experience because the woman would be just acting up, maybe screaming, and they're very difficult in the doctor's office. So before they go in the doctor's office, daughter puts her mom's headphones on, the music, she starts singing, moving to the music, they go in, and so she's making a different kind of scene. She's dancing in the waiting room. And so for the daughter, this was huge. And so this is why the Alzheimer's chapter, they're rolling out actually 10,000 families with iPods over the next 3 years because of the benefit that is evident to them. They want everybody to have.
It's interesting. I'm sure this could potentially make a huge impact with, I know one of the biggest challenges for any caregiver, whether it's a professional or family caregiver, when working with a person with a cognitive impairment, you know, I do an ongoing dementia training in our community, and the comment that constantly comes up is the bathing difficulties. And I'm sure I've had stories of people who have had, you know, people foul a loved one into the bathroom with a guitar strumming so that the person willingly takes a bath. And this could make a huge difference for somebody who's typically combative or aggressive during bathing times.
So for any activity that is typically a problem, yes, get that music going beforehand, during, you know, and things often will go much better. So, yes, so this is something people are doing. But it's funny, I have people, you know, I spoke to a bunch of high school music department heads, and one of them comes after and she says, look, my mom has Alzheimer's and she's in a nursing home, and I go and I sing to her, but I never thought of when I leave, you know, when I leave, I'd always feel bad I'm leaving and she's going to go back to not having that. So I'm setting her up with, so I'm going to do this now. It's the least I could do for her. So, we just don't think of it because with sort of technology, we don't want to, you know, it's not going to work. How's it going to work? But it's not easy for nursing homes. Nursing homes have to, as a facility, adopt this and put in place procedures and make this part of the nursing staff's job to do. If somebody says to a nursing home now, oh, I have the iPod. Can you take care of this with my mom while I'm not here? They're going to say, oh, no, you don't want to do that. It'll get stolen. And so, the theft thing is not really an issue when they have a program and we know how to minimize that. Theft is really not a problem at all. It's more just getting lost with dementia, taking them.
I'd say, you know, a pound of prevention is worth, you know, a ton of intervention. So if we could put something like this into place before the behavior gets out of control, you know, and the potential that person can't stay there or hurts themselves or others, I mean, I think it would make somebody who is thinking proactively about this, it would make all the sense in the world.
And this is why there's been a lot of interest in North Carolina, especially right now in the Durham area, to implement this, Chapel Hill and So there are a number of facilities that have already implemented the program or are now in the process of implementing. So it's very exciting. They're seeing these results, and the program grows based on just the results.
So, Dan, how long have you been working with this program?
I started in 2006, really as a volunteer, and then I was able to get some funding to try this with a larger group of people, with 200 residents in four New York City nursing homes. Mm-hmm. But my friends would say, Dan, you know, what are you doing? You can't do this to people. These people are isolated enough. You're going to put headphones on. They'll be left in a corner. It'll get worse. But the reality was, with these 200 individuals and the 33 professional staff reporting back, saying, no, there's been no greater isolation we can see, but the opposite happened. People are more social.
We need to take a quick break, so we are going to be right back. I'm talking today with Dan Cohen, the founder and executive director of Music and Memory. We'll be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. This is Nicole Bruno, your host of Caring Connections, and I have the pleasure to be talking with Dan Cohen, the founder and executive director of Music and Memory. And in the last couple of minutes we have left here, Dan, I just really wanted to talk about, you know, how can people utilize this at home? A lot of our listeners are listening here today, you know, may not have a loved one in a skilled nursing facility or in an assisted living community. How could they use this at home?
So on the Music and Memory website are some resources that could be helpful, regardless of where someone is living at home or in a nursing home. We have a how to set up a personalized playlist for your loved one. It's a free download, a PDF. We also have how to run an iPod drive if students want to get involved, and how to introduce this to a nursing home. So all of these materials and the website will give people whatever they need to sort of take the next step. The website can be found at musicandmemory.org. It's music, A&B, memory.org.
Okay, great. Any parting thoughts before we leave today?
I would say for anyone who is, everybody should be working, have their own playlist, regardless of whether they have dementia or not. It's just great for the mood. But definitely for those elder relatives, regardless of the status, definitely work on getting that playlist together. And it will benefit everyone. So you won't have to later on, oh, gee, we can't learn this from them anymore. I wish we had gotten that. So definitely take that action because they can use it now when they're cognitively fine, independent, and later as things change.
Yeah, I'd love to add on to that. You know, I think we focus so much on, you know, making sure your medication list is in order, making sure you have your advance directives, making sure you have this, making sure you have, you know, that. But, you know, what about thinking about the things that will help you have a better quality of life if you can't advocate for yourself? So point well taken, Dan. I really appreciate you being on the show today. I think this is a great concept and something that I think is working really well throughout our country. So I really hope that this spreads like wildfire in the state of North Carolina. And thanks again for joining us today.
Great. Thank you so much, Nicole.
And as always, you may email your caregiving questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Thanks so much and have a wonderful day.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.
Do you love keeping up with all the latest news and entertainment in Chapel Hill and Carborough?
Yes!
Well, look no further. The Chapelboro 2.0 app is here. All of your favorite news, sports, columns, scene around town photo galleries, and of course, streaming WCHL 97.9 live. Already have the old Chapelboro app? No sweat. Visit chapelboro.com today to follow the instructions to install the new one. Out with the old and in with the new. It's as simple as that. Visit chapelboro.com today.